The value of a woman. The value of a woman. Our scripture for the month, I'll go ahead, and this isn't part of the message, but we've just been doing a scripture in the month, and it's Hebrews 13:21. The Amplified Version says, strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you. This is God working in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to the ages of the ages, amen, or so be it. That God is working in you. So many times we forget that. We think that it's all up to us. And how's that been working for you if you have that kind of mentality? Amen. I want to talk about, it's a controversial scripture. We sang this morning about traditions that women should be silent in church and they should never be behind the pulpit. You can teach children, but you're not apt to teach adults. How many were raised that? There's some people who still, a lot of people still believe that. A lot of people still believe that. And there may be some people here. I don't know. But that women should be silent. Men, you will be in so serious trouble if you say amen to that. I mean, Mother's Day or not, we'll see you 6 feet under. But anyway, this is the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:34. This is probably on some man that's been divorced. It's on his refrigerator probably. Let your women keep silent in the churches. How's that just to start off a message? Let your women keep silent in the churches. Men, just keep looking forward. If you say amen to all this, Jesus help you. He'll be the only one. But anyway, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive. Oh, this is getting good, isn't it? As the law also says, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. There's been times that, since I've been a pastor, that people have come to our church, and it just so happened I wasn't speaking. My wife would be speaking, and they just say, you've obviously not read the Bible. Yeah, I didn't go good with that kind of conversation, but you know, what's funny is, you know, you can take a scripture, you can prove anything that you just about want if you want to, from taking a scripture out of context, because if you study, Paul was one of the most pro-champion women preachers in the Word of God, and in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, it says, Paul says women can be prophets. So here he says in chapter 11 that women can speak for God in church. But then you read this and it says, you know, women keep silent. So what's up with that? What is up with that? You know, I believe God and the Word of God has always stood behind women as being equal with men and want to empower women. And all the women said, I was weak, but that's okay. I will say this, you know, because women have, back in thousands of years ago, women were just property. They were just property. They weren't even counted. You know, when I don't know what year it was that women just started vote. Was it the 20s that women were able to vote? 1920? Was it? My whole point is women couldn't even vote for a while, a long while. And so men have been, or, well, I guess you could say men have suppressed women for many, many years. And but God has always been the champion for women. And so we're going to attack this scripture the way that it was meant to be. But before I get into that, this, I want everybody, you can say, well, I'm not a mother, I shouldn't have came to church today, or I'm not a woman, I shouldn't have came to church today. You'll get something out of it. But this is what you need to know. This goes for women, men, children, and everything. What you meditate upon How you think about yourself in your mind is what will come out. And what you meditate upon is how people will treat you. If you think you're insignificant, you're weak, that you're nothing, then people will treat you with disrespect, and because without meaning to, it's just going to be part of your DNA, which is not part of your DNA. It's a lie. You're created in the very image of God. I say it again. You're created in the image of God. And so the way, listen to me now. You cannot combat thoughts, bad thoughts, wicked thoughts, with good thoughts. You combat wicked thoughts with good words that need to come out of your mouth. Are you hearing me? So if you're constantly thinking, man, I'm really not amounting up to anything. You know, I just caught last night, I just read the news headlines. I don't watch the news, but I was reading the news headlines, and Dana Perino, I think that's how you say her name, she works at Fox News. She spoke at CSU Pueblo. She was the commencement speaker for graduation yesterday. I went, wow, she graduated from that college. She graduated from that college. And this is what she said. She said, you know, when I was in Washington, first at Washington, that I seemed so insignificant because everybody had Ivy League school degrees and everything. And she said, you know, at that time it was USC. It wasn't CSU Pueblo, but it was USC. So she'd tell people, they would say, where did you graduate? Oh, USC. And they thought, University of Southern California. Pueblo. Pueblo, where is that? Is that in America? Where is that at? You know. But she said that she felt very inferior when it came to her education. And yet she became very close to President Bush and became the White House press secretary. And she was on the plane, Air Force One. And they had President Bush had, she mentioned all these cabinet people that President Bush was asking for their advice situation. And she gave her opinion, which was totally the opposite of all of these men, what they gave. And she thought, oh, dear Lord. President Bush, as he was getting ready to get off the plane, he kept thinking, he told these men, she's right. And we're going to do what she said. We're going with her advice, not yours. And she just thought, wow. And the point is this. She said, just because you think you go to an inferior place, just because you think you're inferior or whatever, it's what really matters is inside of you. It has nothing to do with what people think and their opinion of you. And so you need to make sure that your opinion of yourself is high. You know, what about the scripture not to think more highly of yourself than you ought? That's true. What that is just talking about is pride. Don't think you're better than everybody else. But let me say this. We're to love others as Christ loves you. If you can't love yourself and accept the love of God for yourself, you'll never be able to love people correctly. So grace. Give yourself grace. Give yourself grace. Don't think you're insignificant. Don't think, well, you know, I'm just not that smart. I'm just this, I'm just that. Because if you continually meditate upon that, it's going to manifest in a way that you're not going to be happy with. So be careful about what you think about. You know, you hear sermons, you know, love people, walk in love towards others, love people and all this. But I tell you what, man, if you can't love yourself, you're not going to be able to love people. You will not be able to love people. So love yourself. You know, my brother-in-law, he's real funny. He was going down the hall one time, and he was going, I love me. I love me. And everybody go, oh, my gosh. I thought about that. I go, that's a good song. That's a good song. I love me. Because there's a lot of people, they don't like themselves. They don't even love themselves. They don't even like themselves because they think they're inferior. I just don't know about me. I just can't do this. And I'm telling you, it's mightily important what you think about yourself. Everybody, men and women, ought to amen that. All right. Let me say this. This scripture in 1 Corinthians that I read is a response letter that Paul received from the Corinthian people. So they wrote him a letter. 1 Corinthians is a response to the letter that they wrote. It says that in chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me. Concerning the things you wrote to me. So 1 Corinthians is a response letter. Verse 34, you can go back to 14:34. Verse 34, in the Greek, it has a quotation mark. You know, you have to dig into this to be able to find this out. In all of our translations, there's no quotation mark there. But in the original Greek, there was a quotation mark that began at verse 34 and it ended in verse 35. So what am I saying? He is quoting what they wrote to him in their letter. One theologian said in 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's 42 quotes that Paul quoted. 42. 1 Corinthians 14:36. Now it says, do you think God's word originated with you, Corinthians? Are you the only ones to whom it was given? If you claim to be a prophet or think you are spiritual, you should recognize that what I'm saying is a command from the Lord himself. You don't have to be an English major to figure that Paul is rebuking them. He's rebuking them. At the end of verse 35, you can look this up in a concordance. At the end of verse 35, there's this, it's a word, but it's just an insignia. It's an end with a, were you able to pull that up, Tiff? There you go. It's that, I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little couple of marks over the end. What that means, see, there is no English translation that could translate that. But this is basically, because you need almost, let me just say it this way. In the Greek, it's an explicit dissociation. It means, in our English language, we'd say, no way. Are you kidding me? Nonsense. Or get out of here. Or probably in today's hashtag, duh, you know. In other words, Paul quotes what they have said about women to be silent in church. He replies, this is nonsense. You've got to be kidding me. And then he goes on and say, did the word of God come originally from you? Now, doesn't that make sense? Because in Romans, you can look up Romans chapter 16 and read it sometime. He's praising women in ministry. He's praising women in ministry, Romans 16. And then the same guy goes in 1 Corinthians and said, you women need to be quiet. And there's tons of ministries that believe that women should never be behind the pulpit. Like I said, I've gotten comments, letters, stuff from Facebook to say, you, a pastor, are allowing a woman to speak in your church. When it says, don't let a woman speak in your church. It's funny, they quote that one, but they don't, through Paul speaking, is praising them. So this is what you need to do. When you read something in the Bible, and then you read something that totally contradicts that, instead of just saying, oh, well, and just, well, I'm going to pick this one because, you know, I'm a man, so I want to pick this one. You need to dig a little bit deeper. The Bible, God didn't write the Bible to make it to where, man, I'm just going to let 50% of the population believe that women are no use to me when it comes to ministry. Let's just take a step back from the Word of God. Would that be good common sense for any leader on the planet? That's not a trick question. You can respond if you want, you know. You know, like one person said, you're not on TV. I can look at your face. I can see your expressions. It just wouldn't be smart. Man, I mean, women are smart. Women think differently. They do. And so God knew that. So he says, man needs help. I will create a woman to help him. 1 Peter and 1 Timothy talk about women and braiding their hair and putting on gold jewelry and clothing and everything. And so people talk about that. Again, you know, the Bible wasn't written in the 20th century. It was written to the culture that was going on back then. And in Corinth, there was major immorality and prostitution was running rampant in Corinth at this time. And the prostitutes would braid their hair, wear all kinds of fancy jewelry, and put on tons of makeup and everything. And so Paul was writing to the Corinthians to combat that and say, listen, if you're going out in public, I mean, he didn't say not to, you know, the main thing is cover your head. So when you walk around the temple, there was an actual temple for prostitution, and they would prophesy and be spiritual. But then they would have prostitution. You know, you think, what's wrong with that picture? So Paul was combating against that. And he said, women, when you go out there, cover your head so people will know that you're married or that you're Christian. And so make sure your head is covered. Let me give you an example. It'd be like a married woman who's married and she takes her wedding band off and goes into a bar. What? That's not good. That's just what he's saying. What are you doing? You're asking for trouble. He's like, why don't you take your wedding band off? Well, this is what Paul was saying. Don't uncover. When you go into the temple around in public, don't uncover your head. It's the same scenario. It's the same idea. Does that make sense? So he's talking about cultural things. You know, because now, I mean, there's people that, you know, like, man, women shouldn't wear makeup. Women shouldn't wear jewelry. Really, women need to be thankful they can. Okay, I'm not going there, but you know what I mean. I've seen women with makeup. I've seen women without makeup. We're going to keep preaching the word here. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5 says, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is the one and the same as if her head were shaved. So he's talking about prostitution here. So you need to make sure that when it comes to things like that, don't just say, oh, okay, I'm going to believe what that says. Say, you know, I don't really totally understand what that scripture means. Instead of just saying, you know what, women should keep silent in church. You know, that's the way we were raised, that it was wrong for a woman to stand behind the pulpit. Man, there's been great ministers of God who are women. I mean, I could name all kinds. You know, Joyce Meyer is one of the biggest women ministers that stand behind, and she's ministered to thousands and thousands of people. What if she just didn't believe, you know, well, I don't know what that scripture means. Thank God. Thank God there's ministries around the world that, you know, they uncover things like this. So what Paul was saying, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians 14:34. So he's quoting. This is a quote. 1 Corinthians 14:34 says, let your women keep silent in churches. He is quoting from their letter that he wrote, that they wrote to him. For they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Then verse 36. It starts off with or, but it's really that insignia. He's basically saying, are you kidding me? Right after he quotes that, he says, are you kidding me? Do you think God's word originated with you Corinthians? Are you the only ones to whom it was given? If you claim to be a prophet or think you are spiritual, you should recognize that what I am saying is a command from the Lord himself. So now, doesn't that make more sense to quote that? So, and then when he wrote 1 Corinthians, it was a response letter. They wrote back in between 1st and 2nd Corinthians. They wrote a letter back to him, and actually 2nd Corinthians is also a response to the letter they wrote. So I just believe it is so important for us to understand when it comes to, I love Bible culture. I've studied a little bit. I'm not an expert at it by any stretch of the imagination, but there's so much culture that the Bible addresses, because it, you know, Paul wasn't just writing for the 20th century. He was writing for the time in which he lived as well. I'm not saying that what he wrote was just for, it has no, it's eternal. The word, you realize the word of God is going to be in heaven. It's eternal because it's Christ. John chapter 1, the word became flesh and it dwelled among us. It dwelled among us. And so we're going to be having the word of God. You're going to be, and I'm going to be learning God's word throughout all eternity because it's Jesus. There's no like, oh, this is what the Bible means. Okay, we're done. We're not going to have Bible 101 for the first 1,000 years and at the end of that go, okay, we know the word. No, it's eternal. In other words, there's no end to what, listen to this, there is no end to what you and I can learn from the word of God. There's not an end to it. There's not an end to it because it's Christ himself, the hope of glory. It's the word of God. So having said all of that, you need to see people valuable. You need to see yourself as valuable. And I'll just, you know, the Lord's been dealing with this with me. You know, he says you just need to confess that I'm created in the image of God. I have God's DNA. So therefore, I am more special than what I even think. I am special to God than even more than what I think. It's important for things to be coming out of your mouth about yourself. You know, don't get weird on me and go down Walmart's in the hall, I mean the rows, and go, yes, praise God, I'm special. You're going to be special, all right. We're going to take you out in a white special jacket that wraps around your arms, you know what I mean? But in your private prayer time, this is when you can communicate to God and build yourself up. Jude talks about building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in tongues. You know, I'm not going to get into that. But there's things in the Bible that are just like, it just doesn't make sense, you know, to do certain things. Or it doesn't, this, that, I just don't know. Well, put it on the shelf. Put it on the shelf and say, God, I don't understand this, but this is your word. I believe you're going to teach me this. I'm asking you to teach me on this. There's things throughout my life that I didn't understand. I remember, you know, decades ago, you know, about divorce, you know, when I did get a divorce and I just thought, I'm going to go straight to hell and split hell wide open because I got a divorce, because people thought if you got a divorce and then you remarried, you're hell bound. All aboard! You know what I mean? And so you live with condemnation and guilt. You live with condemnation and guilt. And then you read Romans chapter 12 and it says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And you go, well, how does that work out, God? I mean, I lived with that for years and years. And then Brother Hagin spoke and when I was sitting in class and he just addressed that. And it was just like everybody disappeared from the room and he was just talking to me about divorce. Set me free. Set me free. Unfortunately, it took years. That was 1988. Took years up to that point. I'm telling you, people, religion that we sing about and traditions of people can put you in bondage and put you in a box that God never intended. This is why it's vitally important. Vitally. Listen to me. Even if you don't understand about, I mean, who understands everything about the Word of God? Nobody. Who has perfect doctrine? Nobody. Nobody. You may think, oh man, I know this and that denomination over there, they don't really know this. Honey, they know stuff that you don't know. So nobody, you know, God, there's not a, you know, a platform, okay, Spirit-filled people are here, and the Nazarenes are here, and, you know, the Baptists, and, you know, no, dear Lord, they're way down there, you know. God doesn't see people that way. John 3:17. Jesus came not to condemn the world. Did not come to the world to condemn it. So I don't think he's appointed anybody in the church to be a condemner. If he himself is not a condemner. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, there's got to be messages that are preached like this to bring unity to the body of Christ. You want to see the power of God? It has to start with unity with us. That doesn't mean we have to agree. My wife and I, we don't agree everything about what I believe about the Word of God. We don't. We don't sit at the table and go, I tell you what, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. I'll get a piece of steak slapped upside my head. She's a great cook, so I would never bring anything controversial around the table anyway. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says we need wisdom. But anyway, this is the point. We should concentrate on what we do agree. What we do agree. And the world is trying to force people to disagree or bring to the top what we do disagree on. No, that's the exact opposite, and it's a trick of the devil. It's a distraction of the devil. I'm telling you, God says, let unity rise up in Psalms 103. It talks about the unity, how is the oil that dripped down Aaron's beard, the anointed oil, dripped down and went all the way down to his skirt. It's the dew that's on Mount Hermon. What does that mean? It's the dew, it's watering place where it can't be watered. It's so precious. The oil didn't just go on the head of Aaron, but it dropped down all over his body, which meant it's the whole body is anointed by God. The whole body of Christ is anointed by God. There's not, you know, well, the pastor, he has, you know, super bilious. The same anointing that comes down the head of the Lord Jesus himself runs down upon each and every one of us. I said the same anointing. I said the same anointing that resided upon Jesus. Are you getting this? The same anointing that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says, dwells in you. Dwells in you. How powerful is that? I'm telling you how powerful it is. It's powerful enough to cause the dead to be raised, the eyes to be opened that are blind, the deaf to hear, the mouth to be able to speak. That's how powerful this anointing is, and it dwells inside of you and me. And if you dwell upon that and say, I have the same power of Jesus on the inside of me, I can cause the sick to be made well. I can speak to somebody who is on death's door and cause life to come into their body. I have the ability to somebody who's ready to jump off a bridge and commit suicide. I have the ability to speak life into them, to them, and bring hope to a hopeless situation. May the God of all hope dwell in you. Romans, it talks about. All right. Value your words. Let me close with this scripture. You know, Jesus was on the cross. This is the most important time in our history of the planet, of all time, is redemption. And Jesus was going to purchase our redemption on the cross, the most important time. In John chapter 19, verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. So in other words, what Jesus was wearing was not rags. He had some nice threads. They said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Now verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, this was John, standing by. He was the only disciple at the cross, by the way, out of the 12, I should say. The women, they were disciples, of followers of Jesus. Anyway, he said, and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." In other words, meaning John. Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. This is the point I want to make. The most important time in history. I don't know about you, but what Jesus was going through, blood dripping off of him, agony and pain. He who do no sin was made sin. All of the sin of the world was upon everything. This was unbelievable time in history. He stops and puts everything on pause. And he takes care of his mother. John, I'm going to be gone. You make sure mom's taken care of. Mom, this is your son, John. John's going to take care of you, mom. That's powerful. It's powerful, man, that Jesus, he's taking care of everything spiritual. But this is what I want you all to get. He cares about every single person on this planet. And he cares so much that while he was on the cross, he stopped. Said, "I know I'm taking care of a lot, but there's one last thing I'm going to make sure is taken care of. My mama." It's a powerful thing. The thing that I believe God wants us to get is people are important. They were important to Jesus, and they're still important today. They need to be important to you and to me. I know many of us, including my mom, she passed away in 1999. Maybe a lot of people here, your mother's in heaven. Maybe there's people here that your mother is an awesome woman. But there's going to be some people that say, "Man, my mom, I don't even know who my mom was. She gave me up and she did this or she did that." Well, be thankful if she didn't have an abortion or you would not be here, first of all. And there's going to be people that their mother mistreated them or did them wrong. There's no perfect mother, but even though you say, "Yeah, but you don't know what my mom did," I don't. And I'm not saying that's okay. But what I am saying is, if you've never forgiven your mother, this would be a good day for that to happen. And forgiveness is not about how you feel. Forgiveness is not about, "Well, I just can't." Forgiveness is a choice that you just stick to it. Even when the negative thoughts flood your mind of what they did to you, you come with the word of God. He says to forgive. If he said to forgive, that means he can and has empowered you to forgive every single thing that's ever been done against you. It will set you free. Doesn't matter if you say, "Well, I want them to, you know, do." No, that's like drinking strychnine and saying, "I hope this affects you." No, if I drink it, it's going to affect me. Unforgiveness affects you. It doesn't affect the person that you're holding a grudge against. It affects you. So, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Michael and all the angels will be surrounding me and be my backup singers. You're laughing like it's a joke. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. I'm going to put Whitney Houston to shame, I'm telling you. But anyway, she'll be my backup singer. Okay, maybe that's a stretch. But anyway, let's stand. No, I just think that was for somebody. Listen, doesn't have to be your mother, doesn't have to be your father. You need to make sure you're not holding against anything, all right? Man, dear Lord, what has God forgiven us for? He's forgiven us of every single thing. How much more should we forgive? Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you. Lord, that you are opening up our eyes to value ourselves. To value ourselves. I pray that this message, these words will penetrate deep into all of our hearts, into our souls. our mind, where we do our thinking. May these words penetrate into our soul, God. And may there be changes taking place starting today of how we think about ourselves, how we think about other people even, people that have not treated us well. Help us to think and then perceive like you think. You've given us grace in abundance. I pray that grace would just pour into our soul, that we would give ourselves grace, that grace that you've given us to be given to our own well-being, how we think about ourselves, created in your very image, and that Jesus, you came to die for us even while we were yet sinners. You came. You came. Lord, I pray today in Jesus' name. I'm praying for, this is a supernatural thing. I pray for the supernatural power of God to work in people right now. It won't be seen. It won't be seen. But I believe for your supernatural power to work in people's hearts, to work in people's soul, their will, their mind, their emotions, their supernatural power of God to work and cause us to think differently than we've ever have before. And may people be set free by the power of your spirit, by the power of your word today. May freedom reign in the lives of people today in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen and amen. On my right and to your left, these people will pray for you. You're hurting in your body. If you need anything that this message talks, if you've been struggling in your mind, man, come up and let these people pray for you. Bible says believers lay hands on people, on the sick, and they recover. We believe that. Amen. These are ways to give. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering at this time. You can give by texting an amount at 84321. You can go online, rmfchurch.org, and give that way. If you give a check or money, cash, there's envelopes in the back of the envelope, in the back of the chairs. You can slide that in. There's two receptacles to drop that out on your way out. Are you glad to be alive today? Isn't the word of God true? Isn't he good? God is good, man. I believe people got free today. And even if you don't have an inferiority complex, if you think your self-esteem is okay or whatever, there's always God who says, I want to take you higher. This scripture is for somebody I forgot almost. While we were worshiping, the Lord said to give this scripture to somebody, so I don't know who it is, but Habakkuk chapter 3. Can you pull up Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19? I don't know what translation. Habakkuk chapter, then we'll do this. Is that all right? I'm putting everybody on pause, just like Jesus did. Boom. We're going to pause the offering. Habakkuk 3:19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. This is what he's saying. You and I don't have a natural ability to get to the destination that God has for us. You don't have the natural ability. You don't have the intellect, the personality, or anything to get to a certain level. But this is what God says. He says, I got you covered. I'm going to make, have you ever seen the longhorn sheep in the Rockies on a cliff? And you think, dear Lord in heaven, how did they get there? Isn't it amazing? They're on they're not on a ledge. They're just like glued to the side, you know, like, wow, somebody super glued those guys up there. How are they going to get down? I mean, they're just like super glued to the side. And you just think, man, every time I read that scripture, that's what I see. They can get to places, listen to me, that nobody else can. God says there's high places for you that you yourself can't get to. But he says, don't worry about it. I've created you to have supernatural feet to walk, to get to the high place that I have for you. You need to put that on your refrigerator, tattoo that on your forehead. You do. God has a high place for you, and you're never going to get there in your own ability. So you just think, man, I just got to try harder. I don't know about you, but no matter how hard I try, I'm not going to get to where that ram, that longhorn sheep is on the side. I can try all day, but I'm going to be dead before the evening comes if I try to do that. And people are killing themselves trying to get to a place or something. Religious people are even trying to kill themselves to try to get to a place where God says, you can't get there on your own ability. But I've created your feet like deer's feet. And guess what? It's easy for those longhorn rams. I mean, they just go. And they just keep going higher and higher and higher. It's just a natural thing. And it's no work. It's like, and they're not up there going, it's scary up here. It's scary up here. It's no big deal for God to take you to a supernatural place that only He can take you to. Amen.